Good morning and welcome to Storylines. I'm your host, Christine Cowley. Our guest today is author Farzana Doctor. Farzana, welcome to Storylines.
Thanks for having me, Christine.
Farzana, your latest book, All Inclusive, is your third novel. And as with your previous two, Stealing Nazarene and Six Meters of Pavement, the characters you give us in All Inclusive are memorable, I would say, for their ordinariness. And what I mean by that is that we can easily relate to them as readers. But as with your previous books, your characters often find themselves in unique circumstances. So,
yes. You know, one of the things that I've really tried to do with my writing is to have very strong characters. And my characters are often South Asian. Sometimes they are marginalized in various kinds of ways. Sometimes they're queer. And I've really sought to make them relatable, so that I'm telling a universal story, but making sure that my fiction is pretty diverse.
Yeah, and that everybody can relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved the weaving of Aziz's story in All Inclusive with Amira's. So we haven't talked yet about the characters, but Amira is your protagonist along with Aziz. And I don't want to give any spoilers out, but you describe an epiphany that brought Aziz's story into your writing process. Can you describe a little of that without any spoilers?
Sure. I'll try. So I had written most of Amira's scenes. Amira was largely inspired by a trip that I took to an all-inclusive resort. And all my life, since I was like a little kid, my family would take a week in winter and go to some resort where we would be on a beach. And I had very good memories of those places until I was an adult and I started going and I started seeing some of the inequalities that exist at all-inclusive resorts. For example, there's a lot of overconsumption, there's unequal treatment of the guests versus the workers, that kind of thing. So her scenes were largely inspired from that trip. And I had written most of them, felt like my book was finished. I gave the book to writer colleagues, to my agent, and they all gave me the thumbs down. They said, this is not ready yet. We don't know exactly what's not working, but it's not working. And so I went back and tried to incorporate some of their feedback and still got quite stuck. And this was a bad time for me to be stuck in my writing process because I had actually scheduled a 3-month break from my half-time psychotherapy practice. And so I was supposed to spend all that time finishing the novel. But I was really blocked. So I put the book aside. And the other thing I do is I teach emerging writers workshops. So I went off to teach one of these and was quite inspired by the people who were in the room. One of the things that happens, I think, in emerging writers workshops is that I really remember how fun it is to write and how good it is to write and how special it is to write. So I thought after this workshop, okay, I'm going to get back to this stuck novel. And I was riding my bike home, I was riding along the hills that pass Hyde Park in Toronto. So it was kind of careening, you know, down a hill. And I heard this voice in my head that said, I am your missing character, and here is my story. And I stopped my bike, and I said, no, I don't want to write your story. I don't want to write you. But I didn't have a lot of other choices, and I take pretty seriously the voices I hear in my head. So I decided to incorporate what I had heard, and I threw away a backstory, threw away a couple of other characters, and his scenes just kind of fit very seamlessly in the places left behind.
And as readers, we would never have known that he wasn't there from the beginning of the story because it is seamlessly incorporated. So that whole sort of epiphany you had was what you described as the third novel blues. And, you know, do you have sort of some go-to strategies for that you could share with other writers about dealing with that kind of block?
Yeah, I think this third novel, Blues, seems to be a real phenomenon.
Uh-huh.
As I was trying to complete this novel, I talked to other writers who said, yeah, I don't know why, but the third one was really tough.
Huh.
It took me so many more years than the other ones. For me, I think what was getting me stuck was, you know, I'd written my first novel fairly unconsciously, as is the case for a lot of writers. You kind of hold the story in your head for a really long time, and it sort of just comes out. And you have to do a lot of work to make it presentable, of course, and to get a publisher. The second novel was a little bit more self-conscious, but not too bad. But the third novel was this really self-conscious process. I'd had a little bit of success with the second novel in terms of good reviews and some media and opportunities. And when a writing career starts to build and you don't even expect it to, that adds a little bit of pressure, right?
Right.
Like you start
right.
to say, what's my third novel going to be like?
Yeah.
You know, are people going to like it? Is this going to be successful? Will I sell any books? What's my agent going to say? So there's this self-induced pressure that comes from internal and external stuff.
Yes.
So what I had to do was really remind myself why I write. And sometimes I have to do that on a very regular basis. So I say to myself, this is not about fame. It's certainly not about money. It's not about ego. It's about spirit.
Yeah.
It's about expressing a part of my spirit that is going to give something to the world, and that's important to me. So I remind myself about that on a regular basis. The other thing that's quite important, I think, is just kind of tuning in to the fear that is usually behind a writer's block.
Yes.
So just kind of noticing, oh, I'm feeling scared, and being with that fear, and then being able, through being with it, it starts to dissipate. So those are my two main approaches. I also have an email folder box of nice feedback that I go to.
Oh, that's a great strategy.
External validation is good.
Yes.
And I think the other thing is I just have a very regular writing practice now, so it just feels like a part of my daily work.
Yeah.
So I just have to get to work.
Yeah.
That's my mindset. I don't wait for inspiration. I don't wait for a good day. I don't wait for a good mood. If I did that, I wouldn't write.
Yeah, because it's you have to make it happen. It's not going to just fall in your lap.
Yes. Yeah. I think when I was a very new writer, I thought that writers waited for inspiration. But I think that it's actually when you have your butt in the chair and you're working away and you're in that zone and you're really focused that the inspiration actually comes.
Mm-hmm. Farzana, we're about to take a short break to hear from our sponsors, but when we come back, I'd like to invite you to share some of your advice about working with social media, because I have, since I've met you years ago, I have seen you as the social media queen. Certainly, you know, the person who has just been able to adapt and to make it work for you. So I would love for you to share with our listeners a little bit about the promo squad, what you call the promo squad, and then some other strategies you have for allowing social media to help spread the word about your novels. We're going to take a 2-minute break and be right back with Farzana Doctor on Storylines. Please stay with us.
Hear my dog barking.
Welcome back to Storylines. This is Christine Cowley. Today we're speaking with Farzana Doctor about her latest novel, All Inclusive. And just before the break, Farzana, we were talking about social media and how you've just managed to really make it work for you. And I would love for you to share that one of your strategies is having a promo squad. Tell us about the promo squad.
Yeah, you know, I learned this from when I was working on a friend's municipal political campaign. So a promo squad is basically a group of people who help to spread the word about whatever announcements you have. So I use a promo squad when I'm nearing a book's release. So I ask a lot of people, and I mean like 50 to 100 people, if they would mind being on my promo squad, and I make I give them very clear instructions about what I'm asking for, and I tell them it's 15 minutes of work spread out over 3 months, and I tell them that every week or every other week I'm going to send them a specific request to tweet something or send something out over Facebook. Usually it's an announcement about a launch or the book's trailer or maybe a good review, that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
And of the 100 people I usually ask, I would say about half of them do probably half of the tasks. And I try to get people who are not in the publishing kind of book world.
Oh, okay.
Because you probably know that we get a lot of those sorts of requests and we get a lot of that sort of news. So I try to ask people who, you know, have friends in other industries so that the book's information is being spread to people far outside of
yes.
my own reach.
Yes, so a wider audience. Yeah, that makes sense. So were there some unexpected bonuses at all to employing this strategy?
I think it's just that more people heard about it. I think when you're on people's minds, sometimes you get more opportunities to do readings and get to festivals.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, one of the things I do is I curate a small writing series in Toronto, and we're all volunteers and we don't have much time, and so when a name kind of comes your way on social media and you hear about it, you're likely to follow up. So I think it's just about getting more opportunities because more people are hearing about you.
Right. And I think the workshop series, or at least the reading series you're talking about, is the Brockton Writers Circle, is it?
Brockton Writers Series, yeah.
Series.
It's every other month.
And it's been years, hasn't it?
We run out of Glad Day Bookshop. And our next event is May 10th. If people want to find out about it, they can just go online. They can Google us, Brockton Writers Series, and we have a website.
And how many years has that been going for, Zanna?
I think it's about 8.
Yeah, incredible.
I got started with it when my first novel had come out, and I didn't have much of a writer community at the time. And so it started out as a desire to meet more writers. And, you know, it's just grown into something much bigger now.
Yeah.
We've got OAC funding, which is really wonderful. We can pay writers a good amount, and we're usually booked about a year in advance now.
That is so incredible. And it all started with you wanting to build a community that you can each support each other. That's just so encouraging and so inspiring. You know,
I think a lot of writers do that, right? Like,
yeah.
Just like what you're doing with this radio show. We have a DIY approach to getting things done, right?
Uh-huh.
Because we have to be supporting one another.
Absolutely, and that is so important. I'm glad you actually said those words, because we really need to be there for each other, and it has to work two ways, you know? And I love that you and I have often through the years traded, you know, getting each other up in front of people off and on through the years. And it's just been such a great relationship, and it's lasted all these years since the very beginning of Brockton Writers Series, when I heard about that and went down and thought it was just an amazing thing you were doing there. One of the things that that I've always also been impressed with is how you fold in all of the things in your life, just seamlessly, it seems to me, seamlessly.
I don't know if it's seamless. You know, there are times where it gets quite overwhelming to do everything. But, I think I do a little bit of a few things. And, you know, that suits my personality. I like a lot of variety.
How do you, for instance, when you travel, I've noticed you get gigs. You had gigs in India earlier this year, and I'm thinking, oh my God, how does she do all that? So what can people do when they know they're going to travel? Maybe it's just to another city or another province, but are there ways to kind of ease the setup of that sort of thing?
Yeah, and I learned this, you know, from the first novel when my publisher was lovely but just didn't have much publicity funds, so I had to create my own my own touring.
Uh-huh.
And so it would start with, you know, I've got a family wedding in New Jersey, so what are the local bookstores around there? So I would just do, you know, cold emails and cold calls and say, I'm going to be here, can I do an event? So it started that way. Now things are much easier after the third novel because I have more contacts. So when I was going to India this year, I just kind of put out, you know, who do people know.
Right.
And actually one of the gigs came more in a sideways way. I was seeking a professor who works in Mumbai teaching English.
Uh-huh.
Because I wanted to do a little bit of book research. I wanted to play out a scenario that happens in my fourth novel to make sure that it's believable. And so someone put me in touch with Dr. Niloufer Barucha, who heads up this amazing diasporic writers program at a university in Mumbai. And I was able to, like, go there and do a presentation and all of that just because I had contacted her about something else a month before. So I think social media helps a lot. It
yeah.
kind of draws us a little bit closer across the globe in terms of making friends and colleagues.
Right, and we just need to reach out to make that happen.
I think so. The other wonderful reading that I did when I was in Bangalore came about through a contact with writer colleague Anar Ali, who told me that she had been there and met this really great guy named Sameet Shetty, who organizes this really big book club, and she, you know, helped me get in contact with him. So it's all through writer colleagues. We really have to have a writer's community, I think.
Yes, it's so important. And it's so important to plug into it. I mean, not just, you know, to once in a while sort of test the waters, but to actually get involved. It's really important to get involved.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And to give back in whatever way
yes.
you can.
Yeah. Now, Farzana, I will run out of time before I can list all the awards that you've been nominated for and have won for your books. But one that I would love to have you tell us a little bit about was the most recent, I think, is the 2017 One Book, One Brampton Book Club Award. Can you tell us a wee bit about that?
Yeah, so a lot of cities have these One Book, One Community things where the whole city reads one book, and so 6 Meters of Pavement, my second novel, got shortlisted.
Yes.
And then there was a voting process, so I again used social media. I asked all of my friends to vote for 6 Meters of Pavement, and it ended up winning. And so it's a really lovely thing. They've set up something like 7 events around the book. They're encouraging the whole city to read the book, and I'm so thankful for that. You know, it's these kinds of programs that get the book into people's hands and get a book known. And I wouldn't have been able to reach all of Brampton otherwise.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it was such a pleasure to vote for a book that I had absolutely no qualms about voting for, because it was such a wonderful book. Now, just before we run out of time, Farzana, can you give us a website, your website address, because you have a whole slew of workshops and events coming up that I'd like our listeners to hear about. Where can they find out more?
Yeah, it's just farzanadoctor.com. So that's FARZANADOCTOR.com. And yeah, there's announcements there, and I'm happy to be in touch if people want to contact me.
Farzana, it's been a pleasure, as always, to speak with you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
You've been listening to Storylines on Hunters Bay Radio, 88.7 FM. I'm your host, Christine Cowley. Today, we've been speaking with author Farzana Doctor about her latest novel, All Inclusive. Next week, we'll be speaking with author Ruth Walker about her debut novel, Living Underground, and also about her work as a creative writing teacher and mentor. Thank you for listening. Please join us again.